Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to lead a happy, healthy life. As such, has set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect their emotions with their natural inner state of health. With this radio, and the help of all our guests and callers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lights online. Listen to your favorite teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. Join show host, healer, and founder of Inner Healers in Peru, Susana Stiglich, while she unravels each topic hand in hand with her wise guests. Many people around the world have improved their lives thanks to their sharing through the Inner Healers community. Join us for a joyful experience. Shows are recorded, so you can download each as a podcast to listen on your way to work or whenever needed.
Our month's topic is spirituality, and within this topic, our today's interview will be about your spiritual journey. Interview with Lynn Forrest. She is the author of Life Beyond Victim Consciousness. She's a non-traditional practitioner who, through 23 years of experience in private practice, has developed a unique work oriented to coming into right relationship with herself, to explore how our unhappy beliefs about self and the world are formulated as a result of our early childhood confusion and resultant wounding. Help me welcome Lynn. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Luciana. Nice to hear your voice again.
Hi. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you for accepting being on our show.
You are welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about your experience with the spiritual journey. You said that this fully armored knight on his faithful steed presented itself to your mind as a metaphor for us as spiritual travelers on the path. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, you know, when I think about us as spiritual beings in an armor of ego and riding on our steed, which, you know, very often the horse in dream analogy or when we look at our dream symbology, that sort of thing, the horse represents our body, the physical vessel, the vehicle, rather, that we travel through life in and on, as in the case of a horse. So if we think of ourselves in that way, as the three parts of ourselves, our spiritual being, which is the I inside the armor, and the ego as the armor, and the steed or the horse that the knight is on as being our physical vehicle, then it becomes a beautiful metaphor for each and every one of us on our journey through life. Very often, of course, the knights, what they are symbolic for is seeking the grail, seeking the holy grail, which is that, I believe, is the inside vessel that is filled with the divine feminine. And so that is... Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about the, you know, the encounter with the Divine Feminine? There's a psychologist called Campbell, and he considered that the hero in one of his parts, you know, the development as a hero, he should be presented with the first feminine encounter. What about that in your metaphor?
Well, I believe that the Holy Grail is a good symbol for the Divine Feminine because it is the cup which receives source. It's that which is filled by. And the hero is the archetype of us, again, on our journey, looking for that connection with source, seeking that which can really, truthfully, only be found within us. But it seems as though most humans spend a lot of time looking for it outside of us. They're looking for that through riches or success, material success or power or reputation. It's, if I get that, then I will be whole. And so, but this is an inner journey. And I think Joseph Campbell spoke very much about that, that the inner frontier was the last vast unexplored territory. And that it is that journey that we turn within to take that brings us to our wholeness.
So would you say that for you, the spiritual journey is a journey inward?
Yeah, absolutely. Inward and upward, meaning that there's a recognition that it's not into the meanness of who I am. It's not, it is inward to find that connecting, that receiving place, that line of connection with the vertical, with source energy, that understanding that there's something bigger than us. There's something that with intention, there's a living intelligence with which we can not only communicate with, but literally integrate into our lives, become one with.
How would you say the outer world help us connect with our inner journey?
I didn't hear that first part. How would you, what? I'm sorry.
How would you say the outer world helps us connect with our own spiritual journey, our inner journey?
The outer world helps us connect because it mirrors to us our inner journey. That is the function of the outer world. The outer world is the place where we flesh out, where we manifest what it is we believe, what it is that we have aligned with internally, frankly, that keeps us from our connection with source. And the outer world mirrors that, reflects it to us, so that we can make it conscious and question it, challenge anything that stands between us and our true connection. So in that way, the outer world helps us.
So would you say that miracles happen within us or happen in the outer world?
Miracles are a shift in consciousness. Miracles are an external manifestation of an internal alignment source. That's what I believe about miracles. And they happen around us all the time if we have eyes to see them. Most of us are looking for some huge example. The miracles are small synchronicities, even places when I'm thinking about something, a thought comes that this is something that I would like to have more of in my life, and all of a sudden it manifests, and or I'm down to my last penny, and all of a sudden a check comes in the mail from an unexpected source. These are the small daily miracles that show that we are in alignment, connection, communication with a larger source.
Mm-hmm. So do you consider that having an attitude of wide acceptance and expectation might help the occurrence of miracles?
Absolutely. And I think that that attitude of acceptance and expectation comes from the state of surrender, of trusting, believing, of faith in this larger something. That those are the requirements, that that must first be in place in order for me to be able to practice acceptance and expectation.
So why would you say our culture does not believe in miracles that much?
We have become a world that is that has become mesmerized, seduced by the external world of form, and so that we have looked more to attach to the external manifestations of life as being life itself, rather than understanding that the external manifestations are just that. They are reflections of the life source and force, and therefore they are illusion. There's a very simple definition about the difference between what is real and what is illusion, and that is this. What is real lasts forever. It's eternal. It can never die. And what is illusion dissipates, dissolves, dies. That's the ancient esoteric understanding of the definition between what's real and what's illusion. So when you think about that,
yes,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Talking about ancient times, Catholics used to believe at the time to believe in miracles. That's maybe why there's so much miracles, miracle talking in the Bible. You know, they believed Jesus was able to create miracles. Why do you think nowadays it's so hard for us to believe in miracles?
Well, it has to do, I think you said the word that explains it, and that is believe. When we do not believe, we will see what we believe. And even if it's happening right before us, which I don't think there's, frankly, that there's any less miracles now than there were in ancient times, I think the difference is that we don't see them because we don't believe in them. Even if we're standing in the same room with a miracle and we do not believe it, we will not see it. It's like there was a story in the history book from when I went to high school about the first time the Aboriginal culture, I think it was in Australia perhaps, I cannot remember, when the ships first came in. Where was it? The Barbados Islands, maybe. Anyway, I can't remember where. But what happened was the captain sailed the ship into the harbor, and he could see the natives playing on the shore and the shoreline and the shallow waters, and they paid no attention to him in this huge sailing ship. And he dropped his anchor and threw his little boats overboard and rowed in towards them, he and his men. And it wasn't until they got right upon them that the natives began, even saw them, and began to just, they freaked out. They were terrified. They ran back to shore, and when they came on land, they bowed to them. And in communicating with them through drawing on the sand and that sort of thing, he basically asked them, why is it that you did not come to the ship? Why is it that you ignored us, basically? Through sign language and putting and drawing it, the captain was made to understand that they thought those men had risen up out of the water. They had never seen the ship. So when he took them out to the ship, they got right up on it, like nose to nose with this huge ship before the chief of the tribe even saw it. He said the captain could tell that when they had spotted it, because all of a sudden the chief of the tribe freaked out, and then all the other natives were like, what, and then pointing. They had not seen the ship until that moment. Why is that? only because they had no concept of a ship. They had no belief in it. They did not see it because they had no frame of reference for it. And I think that there's a similarity in our own experience or our own ideology around miracles, our present-day culture, which is very sort of, it moved away from the miraculous towards the scientific some time ago. And now it's sort of like if you don't see it, you don't believe it. And the reality is if you don't believe it, you won't see it.
Mm-hmm. Your story just made me remember part of the What the Bleep Do We Know movie. And I like what they say in that movie because they have this phrase they constantly repeat along the movie, which is, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? What can you tell us about this way of thinking?
Down the rabbit hole. You mean that kind of thinking, what the rabbit hole is that we're down in? Is that what you mean?
How does really believing can take us down the rabbit hole, wherever we want to go,
yes.
You know, believing in miracles?
If you look at it, if you look at the world to me, it is so obvious. It amazes me that we seem so oblivious to it. But when you look around the world, and just even in your own neighborhood, and you see up and down the road, for instance, here on this little mountain on which I live, all my neighbors are having a very separate reality from what I'm experiencing. It's all based on their beliefs. The kinds of families they have, the things they're interested in, what they believe is good, what they believe is not good, and their whole world is governed by those clan beliefs, so to speak, those family beliefs. And we, each and every one of us, create our own world through what it is we believe. Because it works like this. When we believe something, we feel as if it's true. We assume it must be true because we feel it's true. And when we assume something's true and feel it's true, we act as if it's true. We dress the part of it. We dress up like someone who believes that thing. We hang out with the people who think similarly, and we hang out with people who will reinforce for us that it is true, validate it for us, and we will verify that what we believe is true. That's why you can get on the web and just about any argument you choose, whatever side of the argument you decide to research, you will find ample evidence for it, for that particular view. It's the world is all about, we are here, in my opinion, on this plane of existence to manifest our belief system, it's the word made flesh, so that we can see it, touch it, experience it in palpable form. And in that way, we get the opportunity to experience the consequences of that particular belief system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. In A Course in Miracles, they say that miracles are a natural expression of love, and that when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I think that's absolutely right, that miracles are the natural expression of love, and love is the glue that brings us into connection with Source and with one another. It is the life force that brings us into unity. And it's not, we have a very, love is sort of one of those words, like the word God, that has been so misused, if you will, or so overused, or has had so many definitions applied to it that it has lost its true essence meaning. But love is that force from Source, the Source force that moves in and through us. And when we've cleared enough of the illusion that we have attached to, the false beliefs, the ideas, the the stories that we believe are true, like the story, for instance, that we are not loved, or, you know, I'm no good, or I don't count. When we clear enough of those false, illusionary stories, then what happens is that love force fills us, moves through us, and we begin to see the world through the eyes of that energy. And we are moved by it and from it. And that brings us into natural harmony, where we witness the miracles of that.
So if for you miracles are attached to love, would you say that anything alive is made up of a miracle?
Well, absolutely. The fact that we are spirit in a body is a miracle. But we understand the fact that we manifest our thoughts. What is a miracle if not that? It's I think a thought and believe it and create it. We are co-creators, each and every one of us.
How does gratitude help us develop our spirituality?
Gratitude is a natural fruit of love. Gratitude comes from the deep appreciation of that which we are connected to. And we understand that it is the flow of source, that is what fills us and moves us. Then we respond from a natural state of gratitude. And gratitude opens the heart. It causes the heart to open, whereas fear, which is the opposite of gratitude, contracts the heart, closes it. When we live, and so we really have the choice. We either live with an open heart of that has opened through gratitude, which connects us to love, and that's what pours through us, or we are contracted in fear, which means that we are aligned with our make-believe stories, our unhappy, very often, stories of who we are and what we can expect from the world.
Mm-hmm. So what is your definition of spirituality?
That's a good question. My definition of spirituality is simply this. It's the understanding that we are first and foremost made of spiritual, we are of spiritual essence, we are of spirit. And spirituality is whatever it is, whatever practice I have that aligns me, reminds me, and firmly establishes my connection with that spiritual source so that I become one with it. It's the journey of becoming oneness with source.
And how does connecting with the reality of death can help us understand spirituality or connect with our inner spirituality?
I think that the only way to come to peace with death is to recognize that it is going home, capital H, home. That death is just simply means the dispelling of the spell. It's the dispelling of the spell that we're all living under. That's of illusion. It's the dispelling of illusion. In other words, when death is the dissolving of the form life with which we have co-created through our belief system, return again to pure essence so that we can co-create again on whatever level we do that.
Mm-hmm. And how does fear hinder our spirituality development?
Fear, and it's innate in us in form life, because in order to manifest form, we have to separate from it. There has to become one and then the other. And so, and as soon as there is separation from source, fear is a natural result of that. So fear is the state, the emotional state that accompanies the belief in separation, that I am this body, this form. It's my attachment to form life and to the stories that come out of being attached to form life. So in that way, it separates us. It keeps us separate.
Mm-hmm. We are in the last 5 minutes of our show. Are there any final words you would like to share with our listeners on our spiritual journey?
Just to know that we are each and every one of us on a spiritual journey, and that it doesn't, and that there are no exceptions, and that our spiritual journey even includes those detours, what we consider distractions. When we always have the choice to move towards life or to contract in fear. And that's the only, and even that has its spiritual gifts, has its important part to play. Even the times when we contract, I believe in times of stuckness in our life. I believe that every single one of us is a teacher, and that there are two kinds of teacher that source, spirit source, uses each and every one of us as a teacher. And that is either as a teacher that inspires others, and or a teacher who models the opposite, who models through contrast, who shows us by living the other side of the shadow side and teaches us in that way, teaches us what we don't want. It doesn't matter what sort of life we are living. We are ultimately made of spiritual essence, and we will return to that. And that's how I see it. And knowing that, understanding that, allows us not to have to judge someone's life and not to have to fix it. I don't need you to be any different than you are. I don't need you to think like I do. I don't have a list of what you should or shouldn't be doing. And because I understand that you are having exactly the journey that only you can have, and that you will learn through that journey, because that's the way of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Lynn. Thank you very much, listeners, as well. It has been a real pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you for enlightening us on our spiritual journey, which is a topic people have been asking us about due to the raise in the awareness that we are having. So thank you again, Lynn, and hope to have you again soon.
Thank you, Luciana, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.